The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. It is Fan Run Radio, Monday afternoon edition of the show, getting fired up. Alongside Bear, I'm Russell. Parker Pewitt is in the Fan Run studios with us this afternoon. Trey Wallace is at SEC Media Days in Birmingham.
He's on a mission from God.
He's on a mission. We will... How many names do you think Trey will drop? We can get Trey to drop in the first his first.
I don't know. I mean, how long do you want to go over on into the commercials? I mean, what's the over under? You want me to set the over under? I'm going to go with 8.5.
8.5.
Although I don't know what that means.
Well, he will join us as soon as he has something interesting to report down on the scene. This afternoon.
What do you think he's doing right now?
Maybe spending some time at the soda fountain up there. They got like a free soda fountain. You can go up there and get as many.
You don't think he's in full on Scoop Wallace mode?
I mean, I don't know. SEC Media Days, now that there are 14 teams in the league and it lasts like all week, it's almost too much, right?
Oh, it is too much. It's ridiculous.
It is a little bit overkill. It used to be like it was just the coaches down there, and then they started bringing a player, and then two players, now three players. Now it's 14 teams, and it's moving around. It's coming to Nashville in a couple of years, and it's all too much, like the Beatles sang. It's all too much for me to take. But it is the official, unofficial kickoff to the 2019 college football season, and I'm always up for a little college football talk. I saw Barry Odom up there at the podium. Odium at the podium, kicking off SEC Media Days earlier this afternoon. Dude,
he looks like a high school shop teacher.
Barry Odom?
Yeah. Is that or PE?
He looks like a cop. He looks like the guy.
I mean, cops look much like your high school shop teachers. Same kind of temperament, usually.
I mean, he's definitely yanking cigarettes out of his players' backpacks and flushing them down the toilet in front of them.
Having them sign pledges.
You know, my dad would make me smoke this entire pack of cigarettes just to teach me a lesson.
Oof.
They are – where do you think – a couple of questions for you here. We get things kicked off. Barry Odom is in the house, man. And when Barry Odom is in the house, Katie, bar the doors, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what that means, but would you recognize Barry Odom if he walked right in? Obviously, you saw him earlier today, too, because you're going the shop teacher route. Parker Pewitt, would you recognize Barry Odom if he were to wander into the Fan Run studios right now?
I can't picture his face.
No, I mean, I didn't see him today. I'm just basing this on what I recollect the one time I saw him last year. If he walked in here, I'd figure he was one of the younger kids' dads.
If Barry Odom and like Chad Parker Morris from Arkansas, who is there today, too, I believe.
Couldn't tell
them apart?
No.
Like, it would just be a flip?
No. Uh-uh.
No. Chad Morris, isn't he skinnier?
I don't know.
I think that's the thing.
I don't remember what he looks like.
I have no idea what he looks like.
All I remember about Chad Morris is, and this is like, I mean, you do sports radio. We all have bad takes. Things are like, oh, man, can't believe I said that. But during the peak insanity of the 2017 coaching search, like after Shiano.
Oh, I know where you're going.
After Boren Doran.
Yeah.
I think it was on Doran Day. When it looked like we were about to hire Doran, and I was just like, you know what? The Chad Morris, he was the offensive coordinator at Clemson, and he runs a high offense. You know, you could bring Chavis back to do the defense. That could be good. I could sign off on that.
Yeah, I was sitting right there.
I was in the corner in the fetal position, like with a cold sweat breaking out as I said this. But
I mean, Chancer, I won. Told you were losing. You're cracking up,
I was,
Smith.
Yeah.
You're cracking up.
was losing my grip on reality at that point. I mean, dude only went 0-8 in the SEC last year at Arkansas. Where do you think we'll be picked when they announce the media? Where do you think we'll be picked in the SEC East?
Fifth or fourth, maybe fourth.
That's kind of where I'm leaning. Georgia will be first. Florida will be second.
But we've been so overhyped. Did you read that article that Barrett Slee put out?
No.
About, you know, who's been overhyped and underhyped the past, like, 4 years or 3 years?
Yeah.
Tennessee was number one and most overhyped.
We've been overhyped?
Yeah.
When have we been overhyped?
Well, because it goes back to 2016.
Okay. So that was the year that
and we even had some hype going into 2017.
Were we picked first that year? I don't think we were picked first in the East.
In 2007, I think we may have been.
Parker, can you look that up? 2016 SEC Media Days predictions.
I mean, we should have been.
I mean, I feel like
we could have been.
On the surface, I could see where, yeah, like Tennessee's been overhyped. I mean, we haven't lived up to anything, but I don't feel like we've been picked. That's part of the reason people say SEC Media Days has jumped the shark is because here in Knoxville, it's depressing because we're always picked to finish fourth or fifth. We have a minimal number of players on the all-conference teams that they announced down there, and it's just not a whole lot of good news coming out of SEC Media Days lately.
Well, no, I mean, I self-medicate this week every year, heavily.
So the only thing I found is Barrett Salee's article from 2016, and he had picked Tennessee, but I've not found it yet.
I remember
it was Dubs. It was their senior year.
I remember Barrett Salee being very high on Tennessee.
To the point of he was kind of sheepy.
Yeah.
I like Barrett. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, Tennessee was pretty heavily the favorite over Florida and Georgia.
Look who all we had there. We were stacked that year. Hurd, Kamara, Dobbs, Maven, Sutton, Barnett.
Yeah, I mean, they had the talent for sure.
You know, looking back on that, though, the one fun moment of that season, that was the year we went to the Music City Bowl. We were Music City Bowl champions for the year, wasn't
yeah.
it? Watching that game with all of you guys.
Oh, that was where I went on a profanity-laced tirade in front of the Cub, right?
Yeah.
I forgot he was there. I'm sorry about that, Bear. I'm sorry.
You know, that's his
story.
I don't think he'll ever forget it.
I'm sorry.
He says that was one of the most fun days he's ever had in his life. Was hanging out with you and Chance and the rest of the...
That's so sad. That's so sad.
Isn't it? Beating the dog crap out of Nebraska.
Here's what I want this week. Here's what I want to come out of this week. And by the way, they say SEC Media Day is moving to Atlanta next year, and then it'll come to Nashville at a brand new Hyatt that they are building in downtown Nashville in 2021. I think we should probably go to that.
I think we'd probably have to book our rooms now.
Well, they'll have like a special media code and rate and stuff we can get.
At the Hyatt?
Yeah.
Brand new Hyatt? No, they won't.
Yeah, oh yeah, they will, because they have to make it to where, like, I think that's part of the deal. It's like we bring the thing there and you get all this publicity and everything, but you got to make it affordable for the riders to come there.
I figured they'd just charge maximum and fill it up with fans.
Listen, we got 2 years to prepare here. You talk to the Godfather. We start saving. We start selling sponsorships now. I want an entire floor of that baby rented out for fan run. We all get our own.
Like we're some members of the Saudi Arabian royal family.
Yeah, we're coming in there. We all get our own room.
Abdul bin Smith, you're just going to roll in there in a Rolls Royce?
Sure, why not?
Give me the floor.
I'll pay for my room.
I want the entire top floor.
You can stay in my room, Bear.
No.
Come on.
I'm a grown man. I stay by myself. The only person that stays in my room is my kid.
I mean, you don't have to share a bed. We'll have two queens.
Room. No.
Two queen beds. Are you a snorer?
It depends.
On what?
On if I'm overweight or not. Like when I lose weight, I don't snore at all.
Wait, are you overweight now?
Hell yeah.
Are you planning on being overweight in 2 years?
No, because I'm afraid if I'm still overweight in 2 years, I wonder if I'll be around.
Wow.
I got to get the weight off, man.
Show took a dark turn.
Yeah. I'm not going to keep lying to myself, Russell.
Bear's clock is Bear is on the clock. 2 years.
I'm not going to put. I'm serious. I got a 3-month plan, buddy.
You got a 3-month plan.
Yeah.
Starting when?
Like today.
Did you just decide this just now?
I mean, this sounds like I decided it yesterday afternoon.
Really?
Yeah. I bought a scale.
You're going on a 3-month plan.
Yeah.
What's your plan?
The first month, the only liquid I'm going to drink is water.
That's a good start.
I'm going to completely flush myself out.
It's a good start.
Thinking about becoming a vegetarian again.
That's a good start. That's what my doctor told me when I went to my checkup a couple of weeks ago. He's like, yeah, you know, this, like the whole veganism thing, like it's really the way it's going. Like, doc.
I can't do veganism.
Not happening, man. Like, well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, he's plenty of fruits and vegetables. Like, I eat my fruits and vegetables. I'm doing pretty good. I'm not going all the way, man. I got to have some bacon. I got to have some eggs. I got to have a steak every now and then. Got to have a juicy burger. Like, not too much, but I got to do it. So you're going water only.
Going water only.
Leaning towards vegetarianism.
Yeah.
What have you eaten today?
Today? I haven't. My stomach started hurting yesterday. I hadn't really eaten a whole lot.
You haven't eaten much. What have you eaten today, Bear? Stop dodging the question. You've eaten something.
Yeah, I ate some like peanut butter crackers.
Peanut butter crackers is all you've had today, and water.
And water,
Well, that's not good, man.
Well, no, but I'm not feeling tip-top.
Because you haven't had your fruits and vegetables.
No, I don't think it's that.
That's half the battle right there. It's what you put into your body. All right, so you're getting the diet squared away. What are we doing as far as exercise is concerned? Are we on some sort of plan there? I mean, I know you're in a weakened physical condition. Like, we got to start small.
I'm not weak.
Oh, what can we do here? Can we get out and do a little walking?
Yeah.
Walk around the block?
We're going to start with walking.
Okay. Like 15, 30 minutes a day or something?
An hour.
Okay. An hour walking?
Well, I mean, I'm going to start with 30 minutes.
An hour is a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not in good cardio shape, like even half an hour is a long time.
I'm not completely broke down.
I was saying, it is hot outside, man.
Yeah.
I was outside running this morning. It's hot.
Yeah, no, I don't walk outside.
Where do you go walk?
Like the mall or somewhere.
No!
Yeah.
No! Bear! You can't be a mall walker.
You're only 50. You can if you have
You're
to walk
a young
on a.
Man.
I know. But you have to if you have to walk on flat ground.
Well, you need some gradation, man. You need to go up and
no,
down. It's good for your joints.
No, it's not.
You know what you need, man? You need to let me be your trainer. You need to let me train you.
Oh.
You need to let me train you, bro.
Oh, no.
You really do. You're not pushing yourself hard enough.
Let's end up with me in UT Hospital owing like $100,000, okay?
You need some accountability. I could be your accountability buddy.
No.
And I'm going to hold you accountable.
Going back to yoga?
Get you in shape, Bear.
I'm going to center myself, find my chakra again.
All right. I'll make this a check it or wreck it. Do you have a goal? Do you have a 3-month goal? Weight loss goal?
If I just stick to the water for 1 month, by the time football kicks off, I'll probably be at least 20 pounds lighter than
If you do the diet and exercise, the water, you'll be 25 pounds lighter at the end of 3 months.
And you know what then? None of these little punks that we work with
will
say crap to the drive. Not that they do now, because they know I'm a loose cannon.
Well, I'm proud of you, buddy. Good luck. Good luck.
May play some tennis with Parker at some point.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I want to come out of this week? Here's what I don't want to see. Here's what I don't want to hear coming out of this week. Because this has been the refrain about Tennessee the past couple of years. And I'm, for one, I'm getting a little bit tired of it. I don't want to hear about how our players are so nice and well-spoken and great representatives of the university and credits to their coach and their program.
What the hell does well-spoken mean?
They expect them to come down there and be like, we're just looking forward to doing whatever coach wants us to do. Like, you know, they're looking for just idiotic milquetoast quotes. I don't know what they're looking for. But I'm tired of hearing that. Like, remember, like, they sent Dobbs and those guys down there one year, and they're like, oh, my God, they're so smart.
Dobbs
they're-
was so – oh, he was the worst. He was a robot. He just said what Butch told him to say.
Yeah, but nobody's – was it last year? When remember Nigel Ward? You remember how much I liked that where they interviewed him, and it was obvious that he had been – I mean, it was like he was a Manchurian candidate. I mean, he just said exactly.
Well, I mean, this has been a theme lately, and it feels patronizing is what it feels like. Oh, the Tennessee players, like pat them on their head. Oh, you guys are so cute. I hope you don't break a leg against Alabama this year. It's really nice meeting you. You guys are a credit to your university. You're so polite, so well-spoken, and your grade point average is so high. I want to turn on SEC Network one night this week and hear Paul Feinbaum be like, man, those Tennessee guys were scary. What has Pruitt been feeding them? Yeah. Has it just been a steady diet of deer antler spray
up
there in Knoxville? Like, what's going on?
You want to roll out there like Ed Orgeron and just be semi-intelligible?
I just want to see Batuli on there. He's just like one big bicep, and you're like, where's his face?
Send Elijah Simmons down there.
Yes.
With a chain around his neck.
I want to see... Like who's that? Who's the nastiest, scariest dudes. I don't care if they can speak. I don't care if they can conjugate a verb. I just want to see guys that look like pros down there again.
I thought they should have taken the kid, the lineman. I can't believe I can never remember his name. The kid that ran 40 yards and targeted somebody right in front of Pruitt in between play.
Jameer Johnson.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they did send Darryl, we going to whoop they bleepity 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 down there. So, I mean, maybe that's a good sign. And he's a pretty physically imposing dude. And Batuli's pretty physically imposing. And Garantano's gotten bigger. So, like, I don't know. Maybe we'll look down there. I'm just tired of it. Does that make me a bad person? Is that wrong? Should I not have said that? Like, I'm tired about hearing how sweet our guys are. You never heard back in the good old days, you never heard anybody say, oh, man, that Leonard Little, like, he seemed like a real credit to his community. And he might have been. Like, I'm not coming off on any of those dudes.
Did they take guys back in the 90s? Because, I wonder, did Fulmer take, like, Kevin Mays, for instance, down there? You want that kind of edge?
Yeah.
Bill Duff, Kevin Mays.
I want to see, like, Joe Tessitore talking about how, man, I was interviewing that Batuli guy, and it was a little bit scary for a minute there, man. I had to cut the interview short. I thought he was going to attack me.
He's a simmering ball of rage.
I just want to – I don't know, man. I want to hear a different narrative than what we've been hearing.
Well, I mean, Russell, in all honesty, that's the kind of thing that's going to happen, has to happen on the field. That's what I'm looking for this year. Are we going to, you know, reestablish the fact that Neyland Stadium's a dangerous place to come play? I want people knocked out of games.
Oh! Can't say that.
I want stuff, it's harvest time.
Harvest time?
Yeah.
Like fall harvest?
Yeah.
Like we're getting the corn and everything in for Thanksgiving?
No, like ACLs.
ACL harvest? What are you talking about?
I want us to start getting back to being nasty. Just absolutely destroying people. People used to be terrified to come in here and play.
Maybe you're right. Maybe we've gotten soft.
I mean, maybe we should be out for blood. Two former co-hosts of yours, or Fred, frequent contributor Terry T. Fair. Nobody liked going to play Fred and Terry.
It's a different time. It was a different time. We'll see if Tennessee can get back there. We'll open up the phone lines here, 865-546-8200. We're going to go down there and talk to Trey here in a little bit. He is on the scene. We'll have it covered for us. Tennessee goes tomorrow. So you'll hear.
Okay, how uncomfortable do you think Coach Pruitt is tomorrow?
What do you mean? Just having to be in front of all those people?
I don't even think it's that he's intimidated by it. He
taking 4 or 5 hours out of his day to do it.
Yeah. 4 or 5 hours. I mean, just having to go down to, I don't know, maybe gets to see family and friends down there in Bama.
You think his people come up there and meet him? His dad might.
Yeah. And the guy started off as a high school coach. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people.
It's a pretty tight schedule there. Like, they'll fly out on the jet tomorrow morning. They will hit the ground. They'll get in, like, a bus or van or something. And
take him right in there. He does his thing.
They walk right in, and it is just an endless stream of interviews. They go from
there's no way he's looking forward to tomorrow. No way.
I think he'll be more comfortable with it than he was last year.
I'd agree with that.
Knowing what to expect and everything.
I mean, he can do it for 20 years. He's never going to like doing this stuff. I don't think. Do you?
I don't know if he's ever going to like it, but I think he is going to get more comfortable with it and
just be able to handle it as a part of the necessary things you have to do.
And he hasn't got – like, he's not one to kind of cut up. You know, like some of the coaches who are more comfortable, like they'll go and – I won't say cut up, but they'll let their hair down a little bit and realize that, hey, it's not really a work day. Yes, I'm representing my school and I want to look good and be on my best – you know, put a good foot forward. But I can also – when I'm – if I'm doing a five-minute radio hit with the boys down at WSLH in Tucker, Georgia, then I can relax a little bit and shoot the breeze and talk about fishing or whatever.
Right.
You know? So that'll
– like I've wondered if he can get it – we get it rolling again. He starts winning – And gets us back if, because I've heard he's got a pretty good sense of humor. Kind of funny. I wonder if he'd loosen up.
Pruitt? Then.
Yeah. I'm not talking about people, guys working for him. I've know some people that have met him and interacted with him, so he's a pretty nice guy.
All these coaches are different people away from the cameras and away from interviews.
Campus.
And I said it about Butch at the time because he was bringing in all those recruits. Like, Butch Jones recruited well here. He had two top five classes, right? We just talked about there's a reason they were picked to finish first in the East in 2016 because they had good players.
Oh, we should have been in the playoffs.
And there's a reason they didn't finish first is because they had an idiot coach.
Yeah.
But, like, he did get the players there. And I remember talking about it at the time. It's like, man, he was the absolute worst in terms of an interview. Like, he would just say nothing. I mean, it was – there will never be – as bad as Pruitt is, it will never be as worse it was with Butch Jones in terms of, like, you can't even use the audio on your radio show because he never said anything interesting.
It was just obnoxious because he was always hoarse because behind the scenes he was screaming at everybody.
Well, but behind the scenes he was screaming at his own people, but obviously in recruiting he was very smooth. And you would hear, like, these recruits talk about how smooth he was and he's well-dressed and he's cool and he's down-to-earth and he connects with people and all this stuff. And you're like, are we talking about the same guy? Because when we have him on the show, he sounds like an idiot. And
it's gobbledygook.
But obviously in a one-on-one recruiting situation, he could turn on the charm and be personal.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Pruitt is too. You don't get to be a head coach in the SEC if you can't turn on the charm privately.
I mean, he's been an elite recruiter pretty much his entire career in college, so yeah.
But these guys have figured out they've become so guarded, and they all
– it's because of Saban.
Yeah, they all look up to Saban and want to be like him, and so they all try and emulate that.
That's what's so wild, Fulmer, because you've talked about it. Fulmer back in the day, go watch the whole thing if you wanted to. He didn't care. Like practice and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Butch towards the end, it was like they got to see the guys stretch and warm up.
They started tightening up a little bit towards the end of the Fulmer era. But, yeah, I mean, now it's to the point where it's like, why?
It's like Area 51 over there. Which, by the way.
Yeah.
The Defense Department.
I saw. What did they say? They said
not a good idea.
If you come basically. Over, we're going to shoot you.
They just said that they were capable of dealing with it.
It's like, listen, you're not getting in, so don't waste your time.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, and it was started as a hoax, and then 600,000 people decided they would.
What if one of these like armed militias, like these dudes who go out and live in the woods in Montana,
there'd be strawberry jam inside of about 1.5 seconds.
But what if they united with all the nuts, the Montana crew, the Idaho crew,
I mean,
the North Carolina crew?
They're still going up against the U.S. military. Well,
they're like hundreds of thousands of guys.
At our most top secret.
With big-time
weapons.
Performance
aviation facility.
Aviation tanks.
But, you know, I mean, they could breach the gates. Like, they could get in there, right?
No.
Have you ever seen anything on it?
Yeah, have you seen videos on it? If you're, like, within 20 miles of it, they like, track you down. They're, like, spies on the mountains.
The part of it that's actually the active base is, like, miles and miles and miles out in the middle of the...
So it's a huge...
It's out in the middle of the, what, the Mojave or the... I mean, it's out in the middle of the desert. I mean, there's no way with that... I looked into this over the weekend because you and Scoop Wallace kind of irritated me with that.
Why are you calling him Scoop? That's your go-to
that's my nickname
now?
Because he's not here today.
Scoop Wallace.
Scoop Wallace.
You think Trey's walking around there? He's got like a fedora with the little card that says press in it.
They're like Jimmy Olsen. But anyhow, there's no way they're getting in there. I mean, there's a good chance you could die in the desert before you even saw the first runway.
Let's take a quick break. See if we can run down Scoop. When we continue, live on the scene at SEC Media Days, it's The Drive here on Fox Sports Knoxville. We're in the fan-run studios, the cozy confines. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive. This is The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive continues. Russell and Bear in studio. Trey Wallace on the scene, SEC Media Days in Hoover. Trey has made his way down to, what is it, is it a Marriott or what is that thing? Is it a Hyatt?
It's a Hyatt. Yeah, it's the Hyatt.
And it's attached.
The Hoover Hyatt.
It's attached to this huge mall. Have you ever been to a Galleria shopping center?
Trey, is it the original Birmingham Galleria Mall? What I would know that as?
I think they have two Gallerias, one up 459 and then one towards Hoover, right? So,
I mean, I haven't been down there since the early, like, 90s.
Oh, yeah, they've definitely changed it.
It's pretty cool. Like, they've got this huge food court area that the, you know, Radio Row connects to, and you walk out, and there's, like, this huge, the ceiling is all glass. And I remember being down there one year, and there's, like, this big thunderstorm that came through. Like, it looked like there was going to be a tornado. And there's rain and lightning and everything, and you sit there and look straight up at it. It was actually pretty wild. But, anyway, Trey, set the scene for us. Where are you at right now?
Just walked into, I guess, the media workroom. It's kind of quiet because Dan Mullen's about to take the stage and give his presentation at Orgeron, just in the lobby, signing autographs for all the fans. So it's already chaotic. Just got here about 30 minutes ago, and Radio Row's packed. And, it's already a crazy busy time, and we haven't really got started with the big interviews of the afternoon. The biggest news of the day is this thing's going to Atlanta next year, back to Atlanta to the College Football Hall of Fame, and then 2021 they're heading to the Mid-State, going to Nashville. So that's the big news out of here this morning.
I'm saying that we need to go ahead and start planning 2 years, and we'll just go to Nashville and like rent out an entire floor at the new Hyatt. And just have a fan-run week, just a party. We don't even have to do the shows down there. We just go hang out in Nashville.
No, I'm so down. If we just go ahead and book now, I think we can get a good rate. I don't even think the darn hotel's
Yeah, I don't think it is either. So you've seen Mullen. Mullen's there. You've seen Orgeron. Have you seen any famous people? Is like Tebow or Spurrier or anybody there?
No, I haven't. Actually, Spurrier is here. Yeah, I did see him on Radio Row. You know how it is. It's just chaotic down here with everybody trying to find guests. It's something where tomorrow, you know, you're going to have Tennessee representatives coming in here, and they're going to need to make a grand stage out of it. Barry Odom was very complimentary this morning of the media, which you won't hear by any other coaches by the rest of the time we're down here, but also he was talking about as well that they hope to have closure soon when it comes to the NCAA notice of appeals and the postseason ban. They're kind of hoping they might get that overturned. I think it's a long shot, to be honest with you. But it should be interesting. Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt needs to come in here and put on a good show tomorrow. And you know this, and all of our listeners know this. Probably not going to get much, but you need to get enough out of
it. Is there anything good to eat? Are they feeding you guys down there?
I have no idea. I literally probably just got here like 30 minutes ago. I'm sure there is. Actually, there's some like buffet trays out.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing in them.
Oh, yeah. You probably missed the buffet because it's past lunchtime. But usually the first night there, they have like some sort of welcoming party with like beer and stuff, like free beer.
Yeah, they have some kind of reception tonight. So
there you go.
You're right on track with that.
Yeah, finger foods and some nice.
I just need to get all the tips from you.
Cheese, sausage. I mean, this is the important stuff here, Trey. I mean, forget what Barry Odom has to say.
Knoxville loves sausage. So,
I believe I've heard that uttered on our airwaves before.
I love sausage.
Trey, who would win in a fight between Jeremy Pruitt and Dan Mullen?
I'd have to say Jeremy Pruitt would win that one. I don't know, though. Dan Mullen might go for the knees. That could be a question to ask him here in just a minute. Might as well just get on the network and get it done with and get kicked out.
You think it's just a funny question, Bear. You think Pruitt would take him easy?
Yeah. I think it'd be like, oh, God, people would run from it and tear. Yeah.
It could actually be that. I'm not going to lie.
Think so?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it'd be a good
fight. I'm pretty sure Coach Pruitt's got that dog in him.
Trey, are you worried about the Alabama meth gators down there?
No, I think I'm good. There are some Gator fans out here. And also, I think the good part about this is I probably will be gone before my fellow Gumps get here to the hotel.
I was banging 7 gram rocks.
We'll see.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen this story? There's some small podunk police department in the mid-state, like right around the Tennessee-Alabama border, and
probably Pulaski.
It was near Pulaski. It was smaller than Pulaski. Like, I never heard of it. I had to look at it a couple of times. And the police, it's Loretto. Have you ever heard of Loretto, Tennessee?
I have not.
I've lived here over 30. Yeah, never heard of Loretto. And they arrested a man who, while he was trying to flush his drugs down the toilet, a bunch of meth, he was like flushing it. And the police said that you have to be careful, don't flush drugs because the water goes down to Alabama and you could create, quote, Alabama meth gators.
Roll down tide.
Wow. So I don't need to drink the water if I'm coming back through like Huntsville or something along those lines. Yeah,
be careful. I mean, like gators enough to handle, you know, just in and of themselves, by themselves. And now
I don't want to fail the fan run drug test. So, no, I feel you.
We're getting drug tested. The Alabama meth. We have to fire half our workforce. Alabama meth gators could be on the loose very soon. What else have you seen down there, Trey? I know you just got there. Anything interesting?
Just crazy fans. Just, you know, they're all lined up down here. The coaches, the main rooms, getting packed in now, getting ready for Mullen. I think this afternoon with Mullen and Orgeron is going to be very interesting. I think Coach Orgeron probably the most. I'm sure Dan Mullen's about to get questions here in just a minute about, you know, the suspensions and the players leaving. And I'm interested to hear his quote and what he puts out there. All eyes from our area in the state of Tennessee come down to tomorrow. We'll see how Garantano, you know, Taylor. We'll see Batuli if they come down here and they you know, want to prop up the coordinators and what Jeremy Pruitt's really going to talk about if the tough questions come about his assistants and, you know, how long this thing is going to, you know, take to turn around. But I think it'll be a nice little welcoming out party for, especially for Garantano. If he's going to have the year that people are projecting him to have, I think he'll get a good start here tomorrow. But guys, we're here. It's the kickoff of college football. It's a lot of fun. About to get in here and hear what Dan Mullen thinks, and we'll have a lot of content up at Fox Sports Knoxville.
All right, Trey, be sure to drink your share of the free beer later tonight, and we've got the media days coverage on the SEC Network. Can you like walk up behind the TV thing where Feinbaum and those guys are and hold up a sign, something, so we know you're actually there?
Yeah, I can definitely. I'll find something to write down, and I'll put all the beer on it. I think that'll work.
Hashtag fan run forever.
Let's go. And Summer of Bear.
Summer of Bear, and just stand right behind Feinbaum with that sign.
I'll make sure to do it tomorrow for Skull Can, too. We're good, brother.
All right, Trey. Thank you, my man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Y'all be good. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Trey Wallace checking in live from SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama.
Hoover.
The Alabama Meth Gators. I mean, that's classic. That's a roll damn tide and a go gator.
You know what? You're not supposed to flush old medication down the toilet.
Why not?
Because it gets in the water.
So, like, if you were to flush hydrocodone or Percocet, like whatever, you know, narcotic pain relievers stuff down the, like,
yeah, just any kind of medicine, you're not supposed to flush it.
It is a miracle that the water system works.
Well,
right?
It works for most people.
It works pretty well everywhere here in America, even when the water's not that great. Like
you heard of Flint?
I said most people.
That's a whole American city. Flint, Michigan.
Yeah.
They've been drinking bottled water up there for like 3 years, bud.
Yeah. But I'm like, yeah, it's a miracle that doesn't happen all the time everywhere.
Well, yeah.
It's all these pipes and it's metal. Like, imagine what like the inside of the pipes in your neighborhood look like. They can't be just, you know, nice and clean in there.
Well, that's why you got a Brita pitcher and bottled water.
Yeah, but like when you're brushing your teeth, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I don't swallow the water out of the faucet, but I just put it in my mouth, swish around, spit it out, like rinse and spit just straight out of the sink. Don't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
We all do it. We all live off this water. We're all mostly fine.
Well, sure.
As far as we know, which is really miraculous. It's a great time to be alive. Healthy drinking water, working sewer systems, electricity. You got to remember that, Bear. It's the small things.
You saw the blackout in New York.
People try and scare you all the time. Hey, even the blackout, though, man. You still got shelter or whatever.
They don't even know how that happened. You don't find that unnerving?
Oh, somebody knows. Somebody somewhere knows.
Yeah, probably whoever did it.
Let's grab a call from Buster. Buster, you're up first today on the drive. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, Mr. Smith. Hello, Bear.
How are you, Buster?
I'm blessed, Bear. I'm going to take any drugs. I don't do drugs because I'm physically fit. But whenever I do that, I'll make sure I stop by the visitor center at the Alabama Welcome Center. And I'm going to take my drugs and flush them down their toilet at the visitor center.
Well, I'm not advocating that you intentionally flush drugs in Alabama to mess with their water supply.
It's okay. Because it's not going to get to War Eagle country. It's just going to be the Bama fans. Okay.
Roll down tide.
Ask somebody in the SEC office the next 3 days. I heard on the SEC network the possibility of having SEC days at SEC nights. I think that's a win-win. We're the ultimate conference in America for greatness. I think it'd be a win-win. Working people get home at 5 or 6 and start listening to all the conference talk.
No, man. I mean, Peter Burns said that on the show last week. He said they should. Yeah. That was his idea. He said they should turn it to SEC Media Nights, and it should be a primetime TV event. And
Ed Orgeron after dark.
It would, it would massively inconvenience, I guess, the media, which technically they say that's what it's for. But I guarantee you the ratings, like, people would watch that. I mean, Bear, would you not sit around, like, on a Tuesday night or even tonight, like Monday night? There's nothing going on except for baseball. Like, if you're just hanging out around the house and you know that, like, Pruitt and Saban and these guys are going to be talking, like, people would flip that on and watch that.
Yeah, I don't know if I would, but.
Yeah, you would. We all would.
I'd wait till you texted me. I'd have it on one of the tuners.
Once Tennessee starts winning and do this 9-3 thing, thank you, ESPN, yes, then we'll be on the first day instead of the second day. But still, the second day is still good. But anyway, it's good stuff. And thank you for having Trey down there. But ask somebody. Let's do a groundswell of getting this thing done so we can be the cutting edge of excellence on the college football.
All right. Thank you, Buster. I don't know what that was about, but okay. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show, 546-8200. If you want to jump in, Fallface on Twitter says a lot of Central and South American countries put their toilet paper in the trash because the sewage system in those countries is so terrible that just flushing toilet paper clogs up the pipes in their cities.
Oh, my God.
Ugh, could have done without that.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I mean, wasn't in Brazil they were saying that it was when they had the Olympics?
Yeah.
Because they just dump raw sewage into the ocean.
Yeah, you can't even use the beaches. You can't jump in the water there. That's what I'm saying, man.
It's the most beautiful beaches in the world, and you can't swim.
God bless America, right?
I guess so.
We're fortunate.
Yeah.
We're blessed. Every day's a gift. How many other cliches can I work in before we kick to break?
I don't know.
Living the dream, buddy. Just living the dream. Stay with us. The drive continues here on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Fan Run Radio. More of your phone calls. Plus, we will recap the weekend in sports. Not a ton happening over the weekend. I did watch the tennis yesterday. You watched the tennis yesterday, Bear?
No, I
watched the Formula One race. Oh, it was an instant classic. It was an instant classic. Two pros, two virtuosos at the top of their game, trading licks. It's a shame someone had to lose.
Had pretty big history made over at Silverstone in Great Britain.
We'll be right back. The Drive continues. It's Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Sports Knoxville.
All right, it's back here on The Drive. Fan Run Radio. Russell and Bear back in the Fan Run studios here. We got Parker Pewitt in with us. He'll have your top four at four coming up here in just a few minutes. Yeah, man, I can't believe you missed out on the tennis yesterday. I mean, like, there's only – that used to be a sport that people watched regularly, at least four big tournaments a year. Now, nobody really pays attention unless you have – a match like yesterday.
It's the same people win year in and year out, man. But there were two big records broken yesterday in England.
Yeah.
Whether you want to talk about the other one or not, I mean, it's pretty, that was a pretty big record to break. Nobody ever thought that one would be
broken. Is this going
to
be Oasis something to
do
with?
No, I'm in Formula One. Lewis Hamilton broke the five Grand Prix mark with his six.
Parker, do you realize that no tennis player under the age of 30 has won a major?
I do realize that.
Well, you got Nadal and Federer and
Djokovic has won five of the last six or four out of the last five.
And I could have sworn he was an NBA player.
He does. That does seem like a
Djokovic?
NBA
like
name.
6'11".
Yeah. What's his first name?
Novak Djokovic. Yeah.
Yeah. He sounds like some kind of 6'11" serve.
He's a 6'10" center for the Portland Trailblazers
from Croatia or somewhere.
Yeah. He came by way of Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Oh, that was incredible though. So I'm watching that thing, and I promised my kids I'd take them to the pool, right? And so we're gonna go after lunch, like around 1 o'clock or so. And that match ends up it goes five sets, of course. And I'm like, man, this could go on forever. And they say, well, because of that match last year that went like over 5 hours, they had to break it up into 2 days. From now on at Wimbledon, if it's tied in the fifth set, it'll go to a tiebreaker. And I'm like, okay, well, it won't last that long. So I'm expecting, you know, it's going to get to 6-6. They'll have the tiebreaker and get out of there. Well, it gets to be 7-7. I'm like, wait, what's going on here? They're like, oh, yeah, the tiebreaker doesn't kick in until it's 12 games off. I'm like, oh, my God. It's going to be another hour anyway. I ended up watching the whole thing. It was epic. I was pulling for Federer.
Who won?
Djokovic.
Okay.
He won all three of the tiebreaks. And Federer, he had two match points?
Two match points at least. Oh. Double match point, too. So
yeah, he gets a key fifth set break, and he's serving out the match at 5-4 and can't finish it.
40-15, yeah.
40-15, two match points, two chances to win Wimbledon. Oh, he's got it won, man. Like, the dude's in the back polishing the trophy. They're engraving his name on there. The queen's freshening up in the back, and like they're ready to go. And was it a choke job, or is it just the greatness of Djokovic?
I think it's just the greatness of Djokovic, really. He's the best defensive tennis player ever.
It seems to me that the thing that's always been incredible to me about Federer is the concentration. It's like he doesn't – you saw the match against Nadal where he lost the second set decisively, and you think, oh, he's done. And then he comes back – and is able to win the match, and he doesn't even look like he's sweating out there. He never looks like the pressure is getting to him. It's just all about the next point. And he can fall down, you know, 40 love in a return game and still fight back and try to win the game. Like, he just does not concede anything.
Why do they call it love?
It's a good question. I don't know.
You're Mr. Tennis.
Just one of those things, man. As my four-year-old would say, because they do.
Hmm.
Because they do, Bear. Yeah, it was pretty impressive, man. Some tremendous shot making from both of those guys. And
I used to watch it every year.
Sure.
And it stopped about 10 years ago, I guess.
I used to watch all the majors, except for the Australian Open. Nobody ever watches that because it's like on the other side of the world and the matches happen in the morning.
Yeah, I don't watch that. The only one I ever really watched was Wimbledon. I'm not going to lie.
You didn't watch the French Open and the U.S. Open?
U.S. Open always pissed me off.
So, in the U.S. Open, are you taking Djokovic or the field?
I think you'd have to take Djokovic, right? It felt like that might have been Federer's last stand. Let's get set to turn 38.
I don't know. I think on grass, he could probably do it for two or three more years. But on hard court, at that age, it's so much harder.
Well, that was Djokovic's 16th major.
Yep.
And it would have been Federer's 21st. It feels like Nadal and or Djokovic are eventually going to catch Federer. And if he had won yesterday, like 21 would have been, that would have put a little distance and given him a little cushion and everything. But it feels like now it's like, I would say he's done. He's still going to play at a high level, obviously, for a couple of years. But it feels like he's probably done winning majors.
So love comes from the French word loif, which means egg. And over the years, it slowly got butchered and became love.
Hmm. There you go, Bear.
You know, maybe if they had some personality in these guys. Like back when I was coming up.
Yeah, that's true.
When I was a kid, you had John McEnroe just flipping out.
Oh, yeah.
I think the reason they're so good is because they don't have that crazy personality that, you know.
I was like, my dude was Agassi growing up.
Yeah.
He had the mullet, and he's wearing cutoff jeans out there and all this stuff. We find out the mullet was a hairpiece. That was a wig.
Yeah, he's bald.
That he was wearing. But he didn't get good. He didn't start winning majors until he ditched the wig. Like, he wouldn't even play Wimbledon because they said, like, you have to wear white.
Right.
And he was like, well, the heck with that. I just won't play.
Yeah.
And then once he got rid of the wig and started and showed up and wear it all white, like, he won several Wimbledons.
Yeah.
Won a bunch of majors.
He had those whacked out colored Nikes, too.
Oh, yeah. I had a pair of those.
I did, too. Which ones do you have? The Miami Dolphin-looking ones?
The, like, neon green?
Like, neon green and orange?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, I don't think they were orange. They were, like, neon green and
they had some orange
dark green. And
pair I had, did.
They were pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet the ladies love y'all. Sounds so cool.
What are you doing? I'm trying to take a shot right now?
Yeah.
Trying to take a shot?
Neon green.
You're,
orange.
It's a little kid, Parker. I'm trying to take a shot over here. Mr. Style.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Parker Pewitt wants this smoke, evidently.
Okay.
Jumping off the top rope on the Bear and Russell.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's cool. I see how it is. Speaking of the shoes, Dan Mullen, that's another great SEC Media Day tradition here the past couple of years. It's like these middle-aged white dudes trying to show how they connect with the youth by wearing shoes. Oh, look at my Kanye's. I'm hip. I'm with it. It reminds me of like Dr. Evil and Austin Powers. Dan Mullen, he kind of has that way about him, too. He does kind of give me like a Mike Myers' Dr. Evil vibe.
Pruitt would whip him like a government mule.
Yeah, you're probably right. You think Pruitt would win the SEC Coaches Royal Rumble?
Barry Odom's a big dude, man.
Odom?
Isn't he really big?
People say like Ogeron dude. Because he's crazy, but he seems like a guy who has a lot of football injuries, like his neck doesn't work.
Yeah.
He's probably...
Who goes out first?
Probably Saban.
Oh, yeah.
Older, smaller?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's probably pulling out a foreign object out of somewhere. Yeah.
I mean, Muschamp is obviously going to have something to say about it.
Oof. Muschamp and Orgeron, one of those guys would die in a preliminary bout.
All right, Parker, you got your top four?
I got it.
You damn well better. I'll tell you that today.
Yeah, I mean, you stuck your neck out there now. Yeah,
you're in the lion's den, buddy.
Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.